T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Emily Kaplan standing by on the Wester Hotline from ESPN.com. A busy day yesterday for hockey reporters, including Emily. It's Howard and Jeremy. Emily, thanks for coming on with us today. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you guys?
We're good. We got a lot of hockey stuff. Emily, this is the first time in 2 months we feel like we've had some actual real issues to really sink our teeth in. So this is good. But it involves the NHL, which can make you mad every now and then. Let me ask you first, 24 teams. So I read your piece. You and Greg have done a great job with the Q&A over the course of the shutdown. Did they go to 24 to satisfy the local TV contracts?
That's definitely part of it. You know, there's a lot of factors that went into play to figuring out what the format would to be come back. You know, I think ideally, they wanted to play the regular season and get everybody back, and then they realized, you know what, it's not worth it after this long layoff to get all the Buffalo Sabres back to play, you know, 12 meaningless games. So, yes, the TV contract for local markets was a factor. Yes, getting as many teams back was also a factor. And also just making the biggest splash and coming back with a 24-team format, like, that should get some attention.
A 16-team, just coming back would have gotten attention. I mean, I look at 24, and by the way, Emily, this has nothing to do with the Sabres are 25th and Montreal's in. It has nothing to do with that. I'm honest about that. But I look at 24 and think, well, what's the point of the regular season? You put teams like Montreal and Chicago in the playoffs that don't belong in the playoffs, and, you know, you are putting another 8 teams, maybe 400 people, in your bubble. More tests, more expenses, more risks. It just doesn't seem like it's all worth it.
I don't know if any of this is worth it, to be honest, but these are the risks that the NHL is calculating. And really what speaking to them is the $1.2 billion that they're losing during this pandemic. And they could recoup about half of that if they resume, and that's their goal. And they feel this is the best way. And, you know, they were faced with a lot of difficult decisions with teams on the bubble that were going to be pissed if they were not included.
Yep.
And this was the fairest way. And, you know, it is not a coincidence probably that two of the last teams in were Montreal and Chicago, who are incredibly huge markets and important markets to the NHL to get that TV audience in.
Yeah. And they get the Rangers in too, right? The Rangers would not have been in the regular format.
Yep, exactly.
Carolina and Tampa voted against it. You had a chance to find out about that. What was the reasoning there?
So there are both different reasons. Carolina, one of the reasons was they didn't exactly love their matchup. They were playing the Rangers in the first round. The Rangers went 4-0 against them in the regular season. They just felt like they were on a better track and wouldn't get rewarded for it in this format. After the Lightning, they didn't love the fact that they had a first-round bye. They felt like it was kind of unfair to have these teams come in and play them after playing essentially a playoff series and be really seasoned, and they were going to come in a little more cold just playing, these round-robin games, which do have meaning but don't have as much meaning.
Right. Yeah, the round-robin games are another thing we were wondering about this morning. So those top four teams in the East and West will play for seeding. And yet the NHL has yet to announce whether they're going to go with seeding or brackets. You couldn't go with brackets now in rounds 1 and 2. If you're playing the play-in round, the round robin for seeding, why would you go with brackets in the next round?
There's a lot of things the NHL still has to figure out. You know, I think yesterday was an important day for the league, and they owned the headlines, right? They led ESPN Sports. They're going to own the week. But the truth is, there's a lot of things to figure out. Seeding is one of them. health and safety protocols. Like, they don't even have that yet. They only have that for phase two, which is a voluntary workout. So, you know, we're left with some optimism, but also a lot of questions.
In over time, as you've had a chance to talk to some of the players around the league, I think it's also interesting, not just the NHL, Emily, but the major sports. How are the players reacting? You know, do they want to come back? In this instance, as opposed to Major League Baseball, you're coming back for playoffs. You're not playing regular season. The medical issues, the testing. What's some of the feedback you're hearing from players?
To be quite honest, it's all over the map. A majority of hockey players want to compete, especially teams that were on good teams this year and felt like they fought so hard and deserved the chance to make the playoffs. I think they also understand, for the bigger picture of the NHL, visibility is a good thing, and this money does matter. And if they get back on the ice, this is better for the growth of the league and the growth of the sport. That said, there are also players that I've talked to who are questioning why we're going through all these measures. And, you know, I had a player text me last night after Gary Bettman said he was going to spend millions of dollars to test everybody every day, and saying, like, really? Like, is this worth it? Or why are we spending $1 million on this? So, you know, I do find that opinions are all over the board, but the overwhelming sentiment is, I think, people know that it's best for the sport to get back on the ice.
So I'm looking at the NHL release that they sent out yesterday. Emily, and the timeline says phase two, early June, phase three, not earlier than the first half of July. Whenever they get to phase three, what happens in terms of quarantines? What happens in terms of assuming players can cross back in from Canada, and players, what is it? I think it's 17% are outside North America. Those players come back. Is everybody coming back immediately quarantined for 2 weeks? Is that factored into the timelines and the phases?
Not everyone is necessarily quarantined. So if a player comes and is traveling via public transportation to his home city, so that's either like a commercial flight or a train, he'll have to be quarantined for 14 days. If a player is coming from an area where the medical director deems like that's a high-risk area, he'll also have to be quarantined. And currently, as it stands, if you cross into the Canada border, the Canadian government says you have to be quarantined for 14 days. Right. The NHL is hoping they'll ease some of those restrictions. But other than that, players should be expected to be able to get onto the ice pretty quickly, especially in phase two. They'll just have to take a coronavirus test 48 hours before they get to the team facility, given tests are available in that market.
So in a perfect world, if this all goes according to plan, ballpark idea, when will we actually see games being played? When would the qualifying round begin?
Yeah, so the saying that it's going to no earlier than early July or mid-July for the training camps. Training camps are believed to be about 3 weeks. I talked to Don Fair of the Players Association yesterday. He said that's something that still has to be negotiated. It could be a little longer, could be a little shorter, depending on input from players. But we're really talking about late July as a best-case scenario, and realistically early August is as time we'll see actual NHL games.
And the other thing we wanted to ask you about was the draft lottery format, which is of interest to everybody in Buffalo, of course. And the problem I have, Emily, is this whole thing, and I know it's wording and it's semantics, but for me, the regular season concludes, then the playoffs begin. So even though they're saying qualifying round, the problem I have is that typically the non-playoff teams are in the draft lottery, and you're going to have teams, the placeholders, are going to include teams that were in the postseason. And it doesn't really seem like it makes sense and is fair to the seven teams, Sabres included, that weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, the eight teams, I don't think they should have been qualified for the draft lottery. I really don't. I think if the NHL you know, was thinking about this from a competitive fairness standpoint, those eight teams get an opportunity for more TV contract money. They're getting an opportunity for exposure. Like, the seven teams who don't come back, those are the teams that really deserve to be in the draft lottery and the right to pick in the top three. So this is the decision the NHL made, though. And, you know, one of the things that's going to be interesting is the semantics used for this qualifying round and what these games actually mean. Because really, if the stats aren't counting to the regular season, if they're not counting towards the postseason, like, this is kind of an imaginary round that lives in hockey purgatory.
Yeah, it's like a limbo round. I mean, it doesn't, right? It's not playoffs. It's not regular season. And as you mentioned, the regular season has concluded. So the stats are what the stats are right now for those teams and players.
Yeah, it's really strange, and it's going to be lived something that we're going to be talking about in hockey history books for years, probably.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up, Gary Bettman suggested, or I guess maybe hinted at the idea that next season could begin as late as January, perhaps with the Winter Classic kicking off the next season. How do you get in an 82-game season and playoffs? And, I mean, are we talking they're going to be playing to what, Labor Day next year? How would they make all that work?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. You know, one of the things they would do is probably cancel the All-Star game, the All-Star break. They'd probably get rid of bye weeks. That's something that has become common in the NHL for the last few seasons. But it's going to be really, really difficult, especially, you know, with medical advisors warning about, you know, back-to-back games and travel if the virus is still a concern. But for the NHL, they're so dependent on gate revenue. You know, it's a gate-driven league. They understand that very, very unlikely that fans will be in the arenas in the fall, and they're willing to wait that out, especially if he goes so late this season. They're going to need some kind of proper offseason before they reset for next.
Yeah, it just seems like they're going to always be playing catch-up, because the later you go, now it affects the next draft and the next free agency signing period on July 1. And then, you know, either you're constantly playing catch-up or you are dramatically shortening an offseason at some point.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. I know this is something that the league office is going through a ton of models for. I know Gary and Bill in the league office are so hell-bent on having an 82-game season next year, mm-hmm. but it is a possibility that we do shorten it.
Yeah. Emily Kaplan, you can read her work at ESPN.com, at Emily M. Kaplan on Twitter as well. Emily, thanks for coming on with us this morning, and whenever it starts, enjoy the hockey.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.